Shit.
Oh God! Sorry, we've been muted this whole time. Apologies for that, guys. Hello and welcome to our regular what would it be, Monday stream? Sorry, the thing didn't really refresh there properly. Yes, you are indeed refreshed.
Yeah, see, we told you all had to refresh the stream. See, see, I'm totally not covering somebody's arse.
No, we are here. I'd muted everything to make sure we're off air. That doesn't happen very often here, though. We are not the stream of technical errors.
It's because I've let you time manage the last couple of hours of things we've done, isn't it?
No.
My peerless managerialism I have let squander before me. But anyway,
hello.
If you like what we do for these streams, it feels like I'm probably shilling straight away now, but as far as I'm aware, we've been streaming for over a minute, so yes. it's kosher.
Yes.
If you like these streams and you wish to support this and some of the other stuff we are doing and might plan on doing in future, you can do so either directly via the Ko-fi, which is linked in the chat. You can become a member on the YouTube channel, you can give a super chat or a super sticker, or you can go and subscribe to the Substack, which has more stuff on it now as well.
It does indeed have more stuff on it, yes. I'm trying to make sure I've got all the stuff that we need here, but yes. But hello, as I said while we were slightly muted, the weather today has been, well, the weather this week has been a little bit everything, because it's been so windy. It's just been blowing through all the different weathers.
Yeah, I think the word I used earlier on was shite.
Yes, it was indeed a little bit
shite.
Shat.
But I think we this evening are going back to something I think that's really like one of our early hits.
Yes.
Possibly. If I might be so self-aggrandizing in that regard.
Some of the early, well, I wouldn't say the early greatest hits, but this is really our bread and butter in that this week we found out a lot about how patronage networks work. We found out, just through sheer admission and really through it being kind of over and then retooling it, that the USAID department was used as a massive elite welfare vector, as a lot of these places are. This is nothing new to us. And as we always say, I don't have the little slide here, but as we always say, and I'll be repeating it throughout, what is no longer revelation is normalization. What we're dealing with here is the normalization of the idea that America has spent most of its existence, or its entire existence, sponsoring its own supposed political enemies.
Yes.
Or sponsoring basically all of the politics in Europe since 1945. That is what we're talking about here. Is there's a little bit of disagreement about how money works, how money vectors affect people, and whether money is subordinate to certain groups of people as a concept or not. But I think we can really show that there are, as always, two groups of people. There are those in power and those who are not. And money functions very differently if you are actually in power than if you are not. But the vast majority of people are not in power. And so we end up with this disconnect about, you know, how money works, how money functions. But it is this kind of revelation, normalization cycle. But initially, it has been, I think, a little bit slop-coded. The headlines have been, once again, because this is, we still can't escape the woke orbit. A lot of stuff here is about, you know, condoms to Taliban, atheism in Nepal, French-speaking LGBT groups. And really, it's this stuff is why USAID was folded in. Not because they don't agree with some of the more egregious actions. It's because it did just get a bit bloated, as all these departments do. What you are witnessing here, and what I've been jumping up and down and people have been criticising us for, really, is it's a Reagan government haircut. If you people remember in the post the Carter era, in the post-Malaise era in America, America decided to dust itself off and go, hey, Reaganism! And all that did was turn the conservative position into MLK Day and a whole bunch of fake economic and cultural victories for the right. That's what we're seeing here. We're seeing another government haircut, another efficiency drive.
There is also a fantastic little narrative pivot, because this allows them to turn round after years of fighting Antifa and the far left and the Chaz and the Chop and the BLM and all these other groups. And what they've gone out, or what they've done is they've gone out and said, actually, we funded all of this stuff.
Yes.
This isn't an organic conflict between citizen pressure groups. No, this is Putin's Russia. This is hyper-normalization. This is playing every part of the frame against themselves so that you can control all of it.
Oh, it's also tiresome because this is like keep calm, remember your training stuff. But what it does show you is that patronage is very important.
Mm.
But money does hold quite a high degree of power to basically all subordinate power centers. Unless you can actually influence monetary policy, you are bound by quote-unquote money being real.
Mm.
Because money is very real to you in that case. Pillar revolutions are buried in the slop, and what was heavily suspected, again, is normalized. Our model has been solidly predicated on groups like Antifa being wholly US government-funded for years. Again, I go back to it a lot. Here's the video version of it, but the first piece I did for the Anti-Politics Substack, which is now a lot more active, by the way, I said it would be. We've got our official video reserve will now be on the Anti-Politics Substack, because... It's not BitChute, is it? Good Lord. Odyssey.
Mm-hmm.
Rumble, Odyssey, BitChute. All of those are useless, in my opinion. So we're just going to put the videos on Substack going forward as our official backup, as well as a whole bunch of other stuff. So
yes, so do if go. You happen to miss our too illicit and too hot for YouTube crayon drawing stream, which you put quite a lot of work into the resources for, you can go and find that there. Because I'm going to presume a lot of people haven't.
Hey, again, you know, I'll just read the last two paragraphs of this. The difference between a domestic terrorist and an activist is in the US and UK is the same difference between a rebel and an ISIS fighter in Syria. It's what the CIA says it is. Again, 2021. If you extol the virtues of a worldview that could genuinely threaten the power structure and those within it, you are no longer engaging activism. You are, in their eyes, engaging terrorism. You have gone beyond the pale of acceptable ideas and must be disavowed by those activists supposedly on your side who have a stake in the left-right show continuing. Permissible activism is often profitable for those who engage in it by design. It doesn't fundamentally change anything, so there is no foreseeable end point. It is the perfect grift. They can subsist as pets of the power structure, dogs barking at each other over a mostly digital fence. Those in power don't parade out an 8-year-old in drag because they genuinely believe in the virtues of drag artistry to change the world. They do it as an act of ritual humiliation and a transgressive power demonstration. They do it to whip up the professional activists and create a debate in which we compromise on just a little pedophilia. Ultimately, they do it because they want to demonstrate they can, and to waste your time engaging in a good faith argument with dishonest people who would say or do anything to make you out to be a monster, because the uncomfortable answer is that nothing changes until a vast overcorrection in regards to the power structure, a line of thinking not permissible in any kind of legitimate activism, and one that will eventually result in the kind of fate that befell 20 Branch Davidian children. A slightly dark ending there, but I stand by that. Again, written in partially in 2020, but written in early 2021. Oh boy, has that come home to roost. But the point of that article and the point of what we're talking about here is that if you look at USAID, then every tentacle, every visible tentacle of quote-unquote global leftism seems to have some degree of USAID money in it.
And yes, and the same way that the non-Marxist leftism that was born of the 1940s and 50s was almost entirely a project funded by the CIA and its cultural development programs and whatever they called it.
Yes.
So much as we have suggested and have been suggesting for years, and it seems now only to really become a slightly mainstream fact, no one was actually interested in authentically being a militant far leftist for the ideas and for the groups that were out there. It was all something that materialized out of the spending of trillions of dollars.
Yes. Well, again, this is a pro-Orban blog. This is just, you know, about Hungary. But it is... You can see where it's coming from, but the facts are the facts. USAID's billions, how Washington and Brussels fund media to control narratives. For years, Hungary was warned that foreign-funded media and NGOs are being used to, as political tools to manipulate public opinion. Now, thanks to newly released data, the scale of the operation is clearer than ever. Again, it's just millions, tens of thousands and millions of dollars. I won't read this because, well, a lot of this has been through on social media. If you want to go and look at the amounts and who's getting what, look yourself. But the point is that there's so many of these groups, and we've cut through this, and we've done this dance a few times, but it's very nice to have just the absolute definitive proof. It is just the US government. It is just the power center. Hegemony means hegemony.
Yes, international finance does as international finance pleases. And not only in Hungary's example you've got here, but as covered in some of the other groups, I think you also covered partly the piece you did a while back, but in Poland, which ended up becoming, and still is in some weird ways, like a strange battleground for US cultural issues that don't belong there in any way, shape, or form.
Again, NGO chain donation of government money to supposedly independent activists is our bread and butter. We've been talking about this for years, as is the fact that the power center keeps other liberal institutions on life support. Again, Polish billionaire offers to help left-wing magazine after Trump cuts funding. So Trump has cut the funding of a left-wing Polish magazine. And it's amazing that that headline is just accepted. We've gone from it's not happening to it's happening. And not even it's a good thing. It's happening, but it's okay. We've dealt with it.
Mm.
This is a great kind of public reset from the, well, from the obvious. And again, we all knew this. The fact that there wasn't, quote-unquote, all this definitive proof beforehand didn't matter, because if you went looking for it, if you looked for it in granular detail, like
we... It was always there.
Yeah, like we did, you can always find it. You can always find these links back to the power structure. And we have it here, but people are... One, they're taking the wrong lessons. Oh, loony lefties took over a department of the US government. No. No, 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 no. No, that is the wrong lesson. Do not put it in a clown wig. The USAID was set up to funnel money to color revolutions, and the Trump administration is upset that it is not efficient enough at funneling money to color revolutions.
Or or it's specific doing it, yeah, subset of color revolutions.
Yes, well, we've seen that this pipeline, really, and I'll go into this at another point, the stream is about this, but this was set up during the War on Terror in its current form. This the network that was used for Woke was a retooled network used to try and get people behind the Iraq War.
Yes.
You can trace all of these things back to the turbocharging of the US security state in the wake of 9/11. It's very, very, very... very obvious.
And we've covered multiple examples of this. I think you've got one here from quite relatively recently.
Yeah, this is our infinite containment stream, but we talked about Progressive Victory.
Yes, which was a DNC pact that went out explicitly with the process of giving money to the bread
online
tubers.
Online politics people, yes.
The crumb tubers, whoever you want to define them as, with the explicit purpose of getting them to talk about ideas, talking points,
yes,
anything that they thought it was relevant to stick in the frame. And this is why you have Brianna Wu shaking hands with Konstantin Kyssen talking about Israel, which is the only true reason that matters.
Yeah, and it's also where you have people as, you know, as close to our little sphere here as, like, the weird remnants of less sceptic community taking DNC money. The money goes all the way down. It comes directly from the top. It filters through, and it ends up at ground level. I don't know. Do we want to put up a little thing here? Just to give people an idea.
I'm not sure what little thing you're talking about.
Well, this thing.
All right.
This really is the concept we've talked about multiple times, but we see it here. We see it with stuff like Progressive Victory, and there's no political parties here, but a large NGO can also, you know, political parties. This second layer is made up of all kinds of these intermediary institutions. You can think of a political party as like a state-sanctioned large NGO. It's very strange. They exist in very odd grey areas, like NGOs do. But you see here that central government will often give money directly to think tanks and startups. Sorry, will sometimes give them, but very rarely. What you get is multiple revenue streams. You get the government giving it to a large NGO, who may then give it to big tech, who may then send it to a startup. The startup may employ activists from a think tank, but the relations are all interchangeable. Mm. You have a slosh, you know, an amount of government money that just sloshes around all of these networks. But ultimately, you will find that some or most of the money comes directly, once you trace it all back, from the power center, and you will get some you will get some contribution from private individuals as we go through later. But really, this is what happens. You have all of these separate institutions, your large NGOs, your big tech firms that are feeding the think tanks, the activists and the startups that are the ones causing all the ground level problems. But what you actually just have is a slosh of government money. It's all just the same fund. It's just in different forms. And this is the information laundering and credibility and kind of manufacturing that I talked about. I'll get another Substack piece called Think Tank Immersion. They also use this to have people bounce around between all these different separate institutions to build up an impressive looking CV, when really they've all just been employed by the same patronage network and wearing different hats. Sorry, there's plenty more in the notes there. Is there anything you need to add there, Evelyn?
No, I'm just waiting until we sort of carry on, really.
Yes. I just wanted to take people through
that
one.
Not only do weird American-bred shipper people get supported and basically given direction by the American state, British influencers were receiving basically the exact same funding.
Yes.
Both directly from American sources, from the British government, from foundations that gave money to the British government, and the British government gives that money to an NGO that's a subset of that foundation, so that some other person who's a weird leftist can make pro-lockdown propaganda or anti-Syrian rebel propaganda or whatever's required.
Yes.
Because it's not about the message most of the time, it's about the medium. And that fundamentally, the medium can be owned because there's just a constant flow of money through it.
For those of you who didn't see that, that was us going through how that Philosophy Tube weirdo is actually just funded by the money that used to go to the White Helmets in Syria. They are a UK security services propaganda operation, and there is just direct proof of that.
But I would like to go through a sort of specific example for this. This is from Declassified UK, which I presume is some leftist, like, Amnesty International
pitch. I can't actually zoom in and out on this. That's really annoying. Let me do it on this page. No zoom, apparently.
Anyway, revealed the UK has spent £350 million promoting regime change in Syria. This is as of July 2021. A controversial Whitehall body, the Conflict Stability and Security Fund, has used large amounts of money from the British aid budget to support the opposition in Syria. Declassified outlines the extent of this funding for the first time.
God, I wish you could zoom on this page. That's so annoying. Do you want to read any more of it?
Oh, yes, or? I would like to go down to the section that says Community Policing.
Oh, right, okay.
There is more to this article, and it's something we might come back and revisit because of this... The CSSF is something that mildly intrigues me in some manner.
Yes.
One controversial CSSF project was UK support to the so-called Free Syria Police, intended to be a community-led security force working in opposition-controlled areas such as Idlib, Aleppo and Eastern Ghouta. British support came via a programme known as Access to Justice and Community Support, AJACS, run by private consultancy firm Adam Smith International,
yes,
a major UK aid contributor, contractor. AJACS was temporarily suspended in December 2017 after BBC Panorama aired a programme called Jihadis You Pay For about corruption and aid funds reaching the hands of terrorist groups. It alleged that Adam Smith International knowingly funded terrorist activities or failed to act swiftly after discovering that a portion of funds was reaching terrorists. The programme uncovered links between two Free Syria police stations and courts being run by al-Nusra, and said that some police officers were being forced to hand over funds to extremist groups, controlling the area. Now, the Adam Smith International.
Yes.
You wouldn't think that I would have anything to do with the Adam Smith Institute that operates in Britain now, would you? Because that would just be too obvious.
But it does.
But, no. I think have we got the power base one there first?
Yes. No, yeah, that's the only
Well, this is yes. The conflict security or stability and security fund has been renamed to another thing that's now called like the UKISF, which I think one of the links further along is.
Yes.
Which is something I think we should just have a look at in future anyway. If you want to scroll down here, keep going. Keep going.
Where?
Keep going down to this bit.
Right. Which bit would you like?
The bit that says relationship with there Adam Smith Institute, hence why I said keep going.
There's a contents page here.
While some web-based resources describe the free market think tank, the Adam Smith Institute, and Adam Smith International as entirely separate, Baroness Amos described Adam Smith International as affiliated but financially independent in 2004. Adam Smith International Limited, which is the consultancy arm of the Institute, is a separate organisation. It is affiliated to the Institute as a self-financing commercial organisation. Amos's attempt at clarification came in answer to a question to the government in the House of Lords from Baroness Northover as to what criteria they considered before giving the Adam Smith Institute $7.6 million in aid money last year for consultancy work. Amos defended the grant as follows. The Department for International Development awarded three contracts to the Adam Smith Institute worth a total of $7.7 million in the past financial year. Each was awarded following upon international competition on the basis of published evaluation criteria.
That's basically just like, oh, there was a fake tendering process bullshit. That's but the same bullshit that we let all the time.
It's a tacit admittance that... to what degree there is a flow of money and probably intel and probably resources between the Adam Smith Institute,
yes,
this independent libertarian free market think tank.
Yeah.
And the Adam Smith International Organization, which is basically a front for spooks.
Yes.
And we will revisit this at some point again because...
That's amazing though, isn't it? Because the Adam Smith Institute getting $7.6 million from the UK government is the same Adam Smith International, which is just the business arm.
Which
in
is basically handing money to Al-Nusra.
Which is handing money to Al-Nusra, yes. Wow. We'll do a full thing on this at some point, possibly, or at least this with a mix of other stuff, because there's a lot more to it.
But it begs a very important question if you go to the next source we've got there.
We could also just quickly...
there's no quick way to cover
I'm going to say, we'll quickly tease people and just say, yeah, that's hilarious, but...
But it begs a question, and it might explain why the likes of the Adam Smith Institute's Sam Bidwell, was this a director of the Next Generation Project or whatever?
Yes.
Why he's inflaming counter-jihad and completely being absorbed in that narrative. I mean, this is just his article from today... for CapEx, which is part of the same Tory money that the Adam Smith Institute is from.
Sam Bidwell is just paid by the UK government, the Tory party, and the UK security state to support the Adam Smith Institute, which is partnered with the Adam Smith, you know, Limited, which just goes out and promotes endless war.
Yeah, and then here's the Adam Smith International advertising their international projects for climate change and disaster risk reduction advisors, and they... Let's say the advisor for safeguarding one there for the Syrian Arab Republic is like a giant feminist fucking progressive thing.
Yeah.
There's USAID related ones on here about 5-year
this
education
global...
programs in Pakistan.
You may think Sam Bidwell is quote-unquote based, but he's really just another tendril of this awful international money.
I don't think he has a clue. I'd be totally honest, I think he's a young man who's writing things that he thinks is based and has no understanding that what sits behind him is a multi-billion dollar war project.
There we have it. Sam Bidwell, knowing Warhawk or absolute retard. You decide. Because that's the... All this information's public. If someone like Mr. Bidwell... Because some of these people get shirty with it. It's just like, well, have you noticed what you're doing and who you're in bed with?
And this is just one example of one think tank that worked with the...
So much free market.
The Stability Security Fund. Can you imagine how many other of these there are? And this is something that we will be revisiting at some point.
I like that Mr. Bidwell's doing a counter-jihad while his cohort at the sister organisation is setting up an Islamist government in Syria.
It respects women, though.
Oh, yes. Oh, don't worry. It's an Islamist government that may or may not respect... That just makes it worse. I don't respect an Islamist government that respects women.
Yeah, I have not much else to add there, but if you can't see from that example alone how important the money power and these little tributary, supposedly independent bits of government and NGOs...
This is what they renamed the mechanism that they used to fund the Adam Smith international stuff. Yes.
Now, what independence does this have from, say, for example, grander global American empire strategy?
Yeah, people talking about invisible hand. It's not an invisible hand. People are just blind and stupid. keep going.
But I don't know what else you could really show to people to demonstrate that money is one of the, if not the, supreme decisionary element in managerial statecraft.
Yes.
It seems to be the factor and the element that leads to so many people who otherwise consider themselves rebels of part or some rival class to rescind that status and turn around and worship our modern-day elites. That always comes as a consequence of someone being given money that they otherwise didn't have before. I mean, a lot of people will even do it for free.
Yes. Well, you guys don't do it for free. This is a good time to break. We have a couple of donations, but this time, not via Super Chats. People are using the Ko-Fi. So thank you, Distant Knight, for the £15 there. Good Lord. Here, have some beer and butter patronage. Thank you very, very much for the patronage there. And also for one from Sam153. Sickening to realise how deep it goes there. And thank you for the £12. So, yes, thank you guys for keeping us in patronage.
Yes.
At least somewhat. But it does help, guys, it does.
Fundamentally, we can see that there are dozens of different mechanisms and hundreds of tributary organisations that employ millions of people to fundamentally hide one key fact. All this money, all this strategy, it all comes from the same place.
Yes. Again, a lot of... legacy institutions, there's a bit of a confusion about what the hell's been going on with USAID and Politico. It's actually, in many ways, it's worse than people think. This isn't the government going out, being corrupt, and handing out large amounts of money to a legacy organization. This is the fact that the government is just, or the US government is just tied to all these legacy organizations. Hmm. They are one and the same. It is normal procedure for the entire federal government to have a Politico subscription. Because, well, they're the federal government, and why wouldn't they? It's all of this almost blind patronage of all these organizations that would not exist otherwise and only have organic support, in quotes, from these large central organizations.
A civilization of Pimlico journals, if you will.
Yes, it is. It's all of these fake policy wonks propped up by the fact that they have friends near the money printer.
But I think you've got a slide you want to bring up here.
I love that. I just love this. How conspiracy theories about Politico led Trump to cancel subscriptions. Less than 24 hours after misleading and false claims about the politics and policy-focused Politico news outlets started circulating on social media, the White House press secretary promised action by the next day. The federal agency in charge of contracts to poll government subscriptions to Politico services, as well as some other media outlets, including Axios. It's funny, it's just like government lies about paying Politico and then decides no longer to pay Politico.
Yeah. On Tuesday, Semaphore reported that Politico had trouble with its payroll system, with an hour's pro-Trump influencer started speculating and asserting that...
That's the part that's not true. That's the slop part. And that's how they slop jacket everything.
And asserting that the payroll issue was related to the recent funding freeze at USAID, the Federal Foreign Aid Agency. Ex-users shared screenshots from USAspending.gov, a website that tracks federal contracts to bolster misleading claims that Politico was getting government subsidies, a framing White House Press Secretary Carolyn Leavitt repeated at a press conference on Wednesday. So your assertion here is that there was already a fundamental relationship that probably exists outside of US aid.
Yeah, across the federal government, subscriptions for political services totaled more than 8 million last year. So that's in 1 year. They get, media organizations aren't that expensive to run. 8 million in a single year for even a large news organization is quite a lot of money. It's just this is the background spending the US government does on its patron institutions. That was not part of some USAID cash grab. That is just normal US government waste that empowers these people. And I'm trying to structure actually a Freedom of Information request to the UK government to figure out how much they spend on like Telegraph and Time subscriptions. But we'll see on that.
But I think you've got, as I was trying to get to before, you have a slide, I think, that's part of really the question here. Where does the money come from?
Well, it's just, okay, a lot of people like to get their pet issue. Sorry, that's a different insert from a different video. They like to get their pet's issue or their pet's kind of source for all this. But really, you have, I'd say, five. If you add in big tech, lol, I'm just going to undercut that because big tech is really just part of security state.
We can see central government, we call that maybe that UK integrated, you know, spending fund or whatever.
Or the US as well. This works for both.
Or USAID or, you know, a direct central government program.
Yes.
You have the security services, you describe it, tech contractors, and I think you could also implement people like a Henry Jackson Society in there, who are basically developing anti-extremist legislation and workshopping this kind of stuff at the government's behest.
I'm going to put together a Substack post, actually, that rounds up like basically our whole arc on containment. I think that's the best place to do it, but if you've not seen our stream on the Henry Jackson Society, do seek it out. That's a great example of how the security services, aka the Home Office, hands money directly to these Tory think tanks.
But I would just say that as a distinction, because Henry Jackson Society is a lot more aligned with the security services than something like the Joseph Rowntree Foundation, which is it might have a little bit of thing to do with prevent.
It's more aligned, with the therapeutic states.
But yes, it's more aligned with spending foundation money, tax exempt profits.
It's more neutral
accumulated wealth on social policy, not on things that are aligned with the intelligence front.
But the big thing is the money really comes from the power centre. All of these areas here are staffed by fellow elites. Most billionaires, most people who are allowed to become billionaires, and I can't get over that, are still part of the elite. There's this question mark.
How do you get a job on the board of directors for a trust like the Joseph Rowntree Foundation?
Yeah.
Well, you work for a political party or the security services or central government.
Yeah.
How do you get a job for one of those? You work at a large NGO or a trust. It's the constant cycle. I think we've referenced it before on the stream. There's a great book by René A. Wurmser on foundations and their power. And he's having this massive federal investigation of this in America in the 60s.
Yeah.
And it's a large part of what he discusses is that there was almost more outlets of foundation money than there was people staffing them.
Yes.
That these people were cycling between so many board positions, director positions, executive positions, all these different boards and trusts that all recommended and backed one another, that it basically became impossible to get to the bottom of it because it's like a big Gordian knot of extra governmental sort of bureaucracy.
What you will largely find is just that there are layers inserted beneath this.
Mm.
Wide layers, normal layers that go through, I showed it here, this process but bigger.
Yes.
Imagine this, but the pyramid has 10 more levels to it. But really, all the money just comes from the power center, because ultimately we'll find visibly that it comes from a large NGO, the political party, central government, or the security services, or some form of billionaire fund. But the billionaires themselves, and again, the billionaires themselves are not really putting in as much money as you think.
And
a lot of these foundations, as we've seen within the USAID stuff, are force multiplied by central government money.
And what happens is that there is no center point you can directly indicate.
No.
Because that's part of the purpose. So what you're really discussing and what we are getting to the point of here is that at certain times, there is a consensus among elites within one of or several of these quote-unquote branches.
Yes.
And they come to a consensus whereby economic realities, technological feasibility, and what they believe to be the appropriate perception, framing, and justification for it all interlocks for a second, and money is actually distributed to some subsidiary group so that something happens, or that so something doesn't happen in most cases.
Well, as we've talked about before, elite consensus and the fact that this is all just staffed by cousins and friends and it's big club, you're not in it, is where the managerial gears mesh the easiest, where most money flows to it, and crucially, it is a self-fulfilling prophecy, because those in power set the parameters of the incentive structure. Hegemony is self-reinforcing. And as you pointed out, maintenance of hegemony ain't cheap.
No, it's not.
Especially in the age of mass and scale. Money is spent to tread water. Elite overproduction coupled with the skills collapse is the inevitable side effect of this. We're seeing an acute skills collapse in the population, but we're actually seeing a faster skills collapse within the elite.
Yes.
That's why we're having all of these problems. NHSization, least product for biggest investment. It is public sector inefficiency, negative capital spiral 101.
Yes.
It is the opposite of market, of what supposedly, you know, what market pressures in a healthy, maintained market do to a good business.
You incentivize more of what you want and you subsidize less of what you want.
Yes.
Whereas when you're a government, you subsidize problems you can't solve and monetize problems that you don't want to solve.
Well, a lot of people have mentioned the role of big tech. Sorry,
yes.
I'm on the wrong thing here.
There we go.
But really, big tech is just the security state. Facebook, we went over it in social media as fake and gay, and we did our big... through a Prism Darkly stream. Both of these are complementary. I'd consider the Prism stream a sequel to this, but Facebook, Google, Twitter, now X, all of these different companies, Microsoft, Amazon...
Exist at the behest of the security state and exist for the purposes of the security state.
You think I got this job because I'm fat and jolly and jolly?
And that really what people need to come to terms with is that when you're on X collecting Elon bucks for posting, you are actually just being paid by the fucking CIA. We have had it confirmed to us, at least to the extent that we can find out, that even within the British state, there are mechanisms for the intelligence services and their cronies that they hire to run around and use little tools to mark accounts and posts and themselves for a preferential rate.
I will go on record and say that I have seen directly screenshots of coordination with people associated with outfits that are in, you know, that advise the UK government, all of these different places, basically containment people that we talk about. I don't want to name too many names, but I've seen firsthand evidence that these people have contacts at Twitter and directly talk about, one, boosting accounts, and two, boosting revenue. That's why you see this great inequality in the Twitter bucks. If somebody is making fat stacks on Twitter, that money is coming from the security services. I don't know how much clearer to make it. All of the collusion, the DHS leaks, the Twitter, the former Twitter files and all that, all of this shows that there's a hand-in-glove relationship between the security services and what is represented as big tech. And I'm not going to relist them because these two videos have so many examples of that in. But yes, if there is a politics person who's making a decent living from posting on Twitter, they are not being paid by Twitter. They are effectively being paid by the security services.
Yeah,
that's how patronage works.
Tell you what, if I can quickly steal my own tweet for the stream for a second. Where is it? From earlier on today. Yeah, Elon RT'd me means your dangerous talking points can be safely co-opted by an intelligence, finance and media complex which by no means has your interests at heart. Unless you are one of them, in which case feel free to swear fealty to today's elites.
Well, all of these different arms, these NGOs, these friendly billionaires, political parties, think tanks, all the low-level stuff, the activists, they all come together to make it look like different people and different institutions have different sources of revenue and legitimacy.
Mm.
But it all comes ultimately from the power center. They are funded and legitimized by it. And that's how you create the illusion of the separation of powers, in quotes. And there's this illusion in everyday life as well. There's this idea that there's the ebb and flow and the political situation is governed by all of these different factors and people. But really, a small group of people set the agenda and everyone else follows.
Yes.
The billionaires have a degree of autonomy in investment, but their power is chicken and egg. Is someone connected because they're a billionaire, or are they a billionaire because they're well connected? We think of money in an old world sense, but post 1945, fiat money is a policy tool. But that's only at the very apex. Money matters because elites can simply buy non-elites and minor elites cheaply. The money printer can make you so comically rich compared to any other vector, it's almost foolish to try anything. Most of these billionaire NGO projects involve institutional and government funding, acting as force multipliers, as I said earlier. The billionaires follow the lead of the money printer.
Mm. Anything specific you want to go over in this Bezos one here, other than the fact that this is textbook multi-billion dollar organization funds its own little enemies?
Yes. The Age of Extinction is supported by The Guardian. This is really like the sock puppet fight. This is pro and not quite so pro climate change groups having a sock puppet argument in the media and using billionaires as the talking point.
Hmm.
It is so fake that really I don't want to go over this because I want to talk about...
Anyway, do you want me to go on to the next bit then here?
Oh, yeah. Do you want to...
Pandemic billionaires show the fastest way to get super rich is to interface with managerial governments with emergency powers and rapidly expedited and printed money. Money is subordinate ultimately to power, but money magic is still the lifeblood of the managerial system. The modern state has full control over money, so it can make the moneyed interest as powerful as they feel comfortable. Because as we know from economics,
yes,
money is not neutral.
No.
Neither is it politically neutral.
No.
The state sets the boundaries, the hard edges of the container, and the merchant class enthusiastically contort themselves to fit into it. Musk, who we see incessant sycophancy for, is a subsidized sponge. His business since PayPal have been attached to the money printer. He's nothing but the physical manifestation of a concerted effort by financial, intelligence and media elites to control political conversations, and even more so online.
Well, now it comes to the ultimate question. The pertinent question. How important is money power? AA says his original octopus was really a refutation of some of the money doesn't matter as much stuff that Moldbug talks about, at least money in the abstract, which I think there's some confusion there. He does talk about patronage.
What Moldbug was attempting to do...
Basically this, which I just found very funny. But
what he was attempting to do was to suggest that money was not the definitive element, and that in a subset of examples, universities or the New York Times.
Yes, but they all need money.
Well, we of course know this, but what he was attempting to do was suggest that some of these institutions are there as stop gaps to check and yes and no on these things, which I would actually in some regards say is probably true, but the people that are the backstops in these organisations are normally the people who are closest to and operating on the behalf of the money power.
Yes.
And that is the decisive element. Money is what greases the wheels of this awful fucking managerial thing.
This is the model that AA came up with, but he's kind of been like, well...
He's just scrapped it and gone, it's all the US government.
Well, it's important to understand this because this is the way that there is an appearance of secondary power centres, when really there is not. They hold the guns, they print the money, they control the game.
Yeah.
It's that simple. Again, I keep telling people, keep calm and remember your training.
Well, this is, again, something I mentioned last week. Watch and listen intently to all the people who have spent the last week talking about US 8. And watch them do two things. One, many of them will go on to be part of projects that are essentially right-wing coded USAID programs for cool counterculture stuff. And two, these people will still in their minds go on with the sort of false historiography that woke was an authentic movement that had real people in it that were really there for really real causes, as opposed to a figment, a fugazi, a moneyed experiment for the sake of manipulating public conversation into convenient avenues.
God, it's all so tiresome. We have a couple more donations here before I move on. I just thought it was a very funny tweet there from Jess. But in Moldbug's defense, it's Red Empire versus Blue Empire. I don't have time for all that. Not exactly related, but Tesla Musk only came to market prominence because California state legislation funneled money into them. Yes, that's what we talked about. Yes.
SpaceX as well.
SpaceX. Well, yeah.
I mean,
Tesla's a giant, it's a giant electric vehicles money sponge. It's
how long until it's just openly discussed about how, I don't know, like SpaceX is helping development for the Iron Dome or some pitch? missiles.
We've talked about it before, but Blair's big idea was the public-private partnership. Most of what we consider as private enterprise is not private enterprise. It is simply nationalized and not listed that way.
Mm.
If your main contractor is the government, you are a nationalized industry, period. That's again, remember your training.
To come back to the octopus for a second. The octopus operates like divisions in a large corporation. They pull from the same money pool, but there is also still pettiness.
Yes.
There is divisions, there is rivalry, there is waste. But as with any business, upper management can neuter them at the stroke of a pen. Hegemony means hegemony. And as we discussed, hegemony ain't cheap. When it comes to the survival of the current elite as a group, they all know where their bread is buttered.
Yes.
And this is why any time you see, I'll always come back to Matt Goodwin because I believe he's the best typical sort of form of this. He never talks about the elites.
No.
Maybe in an offhand way he will use that phrase, but what he always comes back to is the liberal elites, the woke elites, because what he has to do to maintain the narrative that he is part of and maintain the faction that he is part of is create the illusion that these factions are truly at odds with one another and that they are truly fighting in a battle to the death and that there is not just this mahoosive hegemony that exists within Western liberal democracies amongst the elites.
Yeah. Well, yeah, basically. I'll stuff that because that's for after we've talked about this. But there's a couple of quotes here in terms of money power. That's the first quote from Sutton there. But we actually have some Mosley for you here. This was Mosley commenting on money power in the 1940s. In the 1930s. As you probably learnt from the democratization series, it is the fusion of money power and political power completely that created the post-war managerial state. But to quote, this is from Tomorrow We Live. I believe this is page 4. It's just a PDF version we've got. So it may not be page 4, whatever you're using. But in recent years, the trifling measures which have struggled through parliamentary obstruction have been insignificant in their effect on the lives of people by comparison with the immense exercise of money power. Decisions of movements of international finance on Wall Street and its sub-branch in the City of London may send prices soaring to create a speculative paradise at the expense of real wages of the people, or may send prices crashing to throw millions into unemployment as the aftermath of some gigantic gamble. In terms of the things that really matter to the people, such as real wages, employment, the hours of labour, food prices, and the simple ability to pay the rent, finance under the present system can affect the lives of the mass of people more closely and more terribly in the decision of one afternoon than can Parliament with puny labour and mock heroes of sham battles in the course of a decade. For instrument of the money power was designed to fit present conditions and to exploit the decadence of an obsolete system. Parliament, on the other hand, was created long before modern conditions existed to meet an altogether different set of facts. What he's commenting here and what he's not seeing is the fusion of money power. It is the idea that, as he talks about the city of London is affected by Wall Street, but Wall Street is really just an instrument of the Fed.
Well, I think more this is directly commenting on him recognising, and also the people he would have known in Parliament recognising, that they were powerless to international capital as a mechanism.
Yes, that parliamentary democracy as it was set up would be subsumed by international finance if it was backed hard enough.
So Parliament better set its sights on facilitating what international capital wants, yes, rather than facilitating what it wants.
Yes, exactly.
And another great example of the money power, and this is from Anthony C. Sutton's The War on Gold, yes, which is a great book.
A very good book, yes. Let me make sure it's not cut off at air at all. There we go.
And this is one I think is almost perfect for what we're discussing here, really.
Yes.
The Carnegie Endowment and the War on Gold. In 1965, the tax-exempt Carnegie Endowment for International Peace,
an early NGO,
ostensibly studying ways to end black persecution in South Africa, published a study detailing how a United Nations attack could be made on South Africa. The report quoted military calculations, including the number of troops required for the attack, 93,000, the air power required, 3,000 flying hours, and the estimated casualties expected, 18,900 to 37,800, with the added comment that a percentage of these personnel would be returned to duty. We can put to one side the obviously gross underestimates by the presumably amateur generals at the Carnegie Endowment. More pertinently,
so let me get this. Yeah.
How does a tax-exempt peace foundation get tangled up in promoting wars on the world's largest producer of gold? The 1965 Carnegie Report, with its shrill accusations recommending aggression against South Africa, was signed by Joseph E. Johnson.
Sorry.
President of the then foundation. Johnson is less well known for other positions he holds: Honorary Secretary General for the United States for the Bilderberger meetings, Prince Bernard of the Netherlands of Lockheed payoff fame, as chairman of the Bilderberger Group. The Bilderberger Group, supposedly dedicated to strengthening Western ideals, is in practice in the forefront of creating a collectivist one world new order. Such a new world order would, of course, be under US, that is, Wall Street dominance. In other words, it would be the same dollar imperialism that is at the root of the war on gold.
Yeah.
In brief, and this is the important part.
Yes.
The Carnegie Endowment is an integral part of the US establishment. In many ways, it is closer to the centre of policymaking than the Washington bureaucrats. The Carnegie policy making... The Carnegie Endowment has a vested interest in promoting dollar imperialism. Why not a collective attack on the Soviet Union, where Jews and political dissidents are more persecuted than any black labourer in South Africa? Why was no voice raised by the Endowment against South Africa in World War II, or Korea, when petty apartheid was more rigid than today? Why is there no recognition of the significant changes that have occurred in South Africa? And... as he says it here, they had a strategic interest in shutting down South African gold production.
Yes.
And instead of it being like the Rand Corporation or some other direct security or military think tank or any body of government, no, it was the private trust fund, the Carnegie Endowment,
yes,
that was coming up with plans to use... 93,000 troops and hosting a land invasion of South Africa all by itself.
Thank you for the extra $5 there, Belfast Knight. We will not redeem, don't worry. It's just like, oh, God damn it, I wish those would stop coming up. Yeah, the entire economy of Northern Virginia and Arlington is reliant on this. Very funny. But the point to be made here, and the point that links in with, well, more contemporary events, is that international finance fused fully with the US global government post-1945. There is no rival castle of financiers anymore. There is the global financial system, in quotes, and there are independent nations attacked at all times by the global financial system. The illusion of separation of powers falls away when it is time for the global financial system to punish Russia, for example. Here's an article from The Conversation. Vladimir Putin's gold strategy explained why sanctions against Russia failed. He effectively learned from what happened to Rhodesia and South Africa, and he went, absolutely not. And a large part of that was because Russia is able to extract its own and raise, you know, gold from its partners on the international markets. Sanctions against Russia were strategic, you know, blah, 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 but one, you can't fight an energy producer of this size. Everyone just wants their energy. And two, well, if you go back to a gold-backed currency, there's nothing the international order can do to you. That's why the ruble didn't collapse. That's why the Russian economy, by their official figures, is growing faster than the UK economy by our official figures.
Oh, well, hopefully the tariffs we get put on us do us favours then, eh? There's a whole other realm of slop that I can't even be arsed to wade into.
But really, Vladimir Putin was able to bypass the money magic of the international order by invoking one of their big weaknesses. Gold. Weak to gold.
And at the same time, as you're describing it,
yeah,
America is getting a sort of Reaganite haircut. The US government might shrink from a $10 trillion entity into a $9.5 trillion entity. Wow.
But the whole
Ron Paul quaking in his boots.
How does that get rid of this? Like, how do you... This process still hasn't been disrupted. The Hydra has so many heads that the celebration of the... Not even the removal, the folding in of one of them to the State Department, because that's where USAID's going. And even that maneuver, even this, you know, twiddling of the knobs is subject to endless legal wrangling.
I'll tell you what's going to happen. All of this stuff that already exists will be transparently repurposed for the sake of promoting freedom and democracy.
Yes.
In the Western world and the Third World and wherever else. But because it'll be based and right-wing coded and Jew-friendly, because with Jews you win.
Yes.
Don't never forget that.
Jews rock, guys.
Jews equal in big letters win.
Can we get some Jews rock?
Jews rock!
We love Jews. Can we get some Jews rock in the chat, guys?
Not only will this not stop, this will get worse.
Of course.
Can you... I mean, no one wanted to be involved in lefty cultural projects that existed in the basements of universities where they had ethical, multiracial raves for people who suffer synesthesia or whatever.
Let's not...
But when that money, that momentum, that structure is organised towards things that are more culturally acceptable,
yes,
are more common sense in it,
yes,
and basically everything will be GB News now.
Well, everything
will be fucking GB News.
It will no longer be 150 million to the Hungarian opposition. It will be 150 million to fight anti-Semitism in Hungary.
Yes, and it will be make sure that Viktor Orban can keep anti-Semites.
It'll be 150
Hungary.
Million to promote America's trade agenda in Europe.
Yeah,
it's you can name it. The point is the names of it. The framing of it and even the institutions that it is washed through don't matter.
No.
What matters is that throughout, as we've talked about the Carnegie Endowment, throughout the post-war history of Europe and the world, America has used its money magic and its infinite printed money to control all aspects of the political conversation in countries it was interested in. And that has been... There was tacit throughout the Cold War. The excuse there was communism. But after the Cold War, we learned that really, that is just how their hegemony functions. It's all just the same money. I'll bang the point home again. No, there are no independent activists that get put on the news. No, you do not see people, institutions, think tanks, political parties, or politicians that have not been pre-approved to you. Yes, they do have control of the whole process. And there is just so much proof of that that you have to be in some way mentally disabled or involved in it to deny that.
Excuse me, I'm going to put my big MAGA glasses on that deflect your black pilling. I'm going to put you in the crystal because you're a sore loser and you don't understand that the Anons are in control.
Well, it's just
that what we are witnessing is not a further obfuscation, centralization by decentralization.
Yeah.
No, the Anons are in charge. Well, the policy, the opinions, the direction that everything is moving is a consequence of bottom-up democracy and what people with MAGA hats on their heads believe.
If people were... Some people got very upset at my previous Comenia post about Americans not being, you know, ethnically normal like Europeans are, but I think people get even more upset by something I'm currently writing called The Ghost of San Francis. But Reaganism is remembered as by those who are... not actual rhinos, as a time when conservatism surrendered a lot of its principles for being quote-unquote electable and popular. But if we look at Reagan's agenda, all we have with Trumpism is Reaganism with gay marriage. It's gay Reaganism. It's Reaganism with the first minority white generation.
But it doesn't matter because all your favourite online commentators are going to get that bag.
So, culturally... America has surrendered to everything Obama and post-Obama, and demographically, you are about to have the first minority white generation arrive in America, but we're winning, guys! This is what we mean by the permanent agenda. These are the things that go on in the background while you're dicking around with online politics. While you're fiddling on the edges and arguing about which talking heads you like, what's happening is that those talking heads are being paid by the power center and your demographics are degrading. Your cultural norms are being changed. You are being moved further along the pipeline. Yeah. It doesn't matter what the face is. It doesn't matter who the money launderers are. This is the project. This is the permanent project. And the money is the lubricant. It floats on it. You must pump money into this machine as fast as humanly possible because we live in the reign of quantity. What we have, again, it is a mass and scale problem. There must be mass and scale of money injection. And it all comes from the top because we have managed economies. As you've put here, yeah, the global financial system is integrated. You wouldn't vote for the governor of the Bank of England or any other money technocrat, for example, because that's considered too important and too technical for mere democracy for the people to decide. People would be aghast if people were able to vote for, like, the governor of the Bank of England because, oh, he's irresponsible. You know, the people don't know what makes a good financial governor. Are you joking? But all Western economies post 1945 are planned, monetized economies by these appointed officials. The fusion of the political class and the financial class into the managerial class is the story of 1900 through 1945 and the emergence of mass democracy. We wrote an entire series about this. It's called Democratization, and it features this process as an inherent part of it. I'm very proud of our previous work because it's very much been vindicated. But this is what happened. Money is the power center. The power center controls the money, but the money is still important because we all still need it to live. And it is amazing how cheaply many of the subservient parts can be purchased for. It's amazing how slim some of the rations the elite class keep their, you know, distant cousins and friends on. They are actually kept on a pretty tight financial lease in some cases, But when you get someone who's close enough, they're just given infinite money. It's this divide between these hungry people kept questing and these overfed bureaucrats who have infinite reach. But I don't want to depress people, but this is the reality. Like, how is Trumpism going to stop this?
Well, I would even go sort of... I would make it even simpler than that. I would ask the question of, how does Trump and his acolytes stop the culture war?
Yeah, it doesn't.
Not how do you lessen it, How do you create the narrative of unification? I mean, genuinely, how would it stop? How would they actually be willing to shut down on both sides the agitation, the militating, the genuinely just riling people up over issues that affect sometimes handfuls of people and an entire country?
Yes.
And it becomes the subject of the day. It becomes what the newspapers are about and what you read about and what you talk about at work and whatever else. He's not going to stop that, is he? And this is fundamentally the problem we are talking about. Not leftwards politicisation or rightwards politicisation, but the giant multi-billion pound projects for the politicisation of masses in Western countries and beyond.
Yes, and the use of that to social engineer societies to create results that are more beneficial to the elite class. That's the other end of it. It's you are being evolved into more manageable livestock through this method. You will be sexless and raceless. You will be an interchangeable economic unit, and that is the point. But MAGA is fully on board with that. They just want it to be painted their colour.
Oh, as long as it's cheap.
Yeah, as long, they would like it to be done more efficiently and have an American flag painted on it. And that's really about it. I don't think we have much else to cover there. I'm going to double check. We're not going to do donations. Thank you to everybody who's donated. Apologies for the slight tech snafu at the beginning, but I think we lost about 30 seconds anyway.
It was just going heblo. So
heblo.
Heblo. There's some extra ones for those who missed them.
Some extra heblos there. Apart from that, all I can say is thank you all for coming. Do have a good rest of your evening. And we will speak to you again at some point, eh?
Good night.
Good night.
Oh, I bet there's cool outro music going on just now.